Welcome to Fear of the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Wayne.
My name's...
Oh, you
messed it up.
My name's Chad.
My name's Julia.
That's what happens when you don't come around often enough. You forget how this works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're happy to have Julia. It's been... I don't even know how long since you were on a non-negative episode.
It seems like every time I come, I'm on a negative episode. Not even like a bonus, a negative.
Yeah, well, it's because I can always count on you and Brodor to take things in a direction that I can't release. And so, thus, you guys are my guaranteed font of negative episodes.
I think the last episode I was on, I colored interesting things.
Yes, and speaking of which, for our Patreon backers, I will be getting Brodor back here for a negative episode soon. So bear with me. I'm working on that. But I want to talk about something terrible, but wonderful. Because I would wager there are very few people that are in role-playing games that have not contemplated this at some point.
Gosh.
Because the nature of role-playing is that you assume the role of someone in this game or this fictional universe or this set of what ifs, you know, what if the world was like this or history was like that or whatever it may be. And it is very, very difficult to work that out in a way that does not include some level of self-insert, because you start understanding any given universe by comparing it to your own experiences. So you look at something and say, well, how would I react to this? I think probably everybody watching a movie, you're like, man, if I was there, I would have totally turned that light on and not put the gun down. Right. With a horror movie, whatever, horror movies are probably the worst for this. But you always kind of picture what it is you would have done in that situation.
I totally do that when watching porn.
Wayne, that is a very different topic. And we'll save it for a negative episode. But yes, pornography might be an example of where you do a little bit of self-insert.
Go on.
Yes. So
is it sad that I only made the joke because I knew the reaction I would get from Chad? And I already know he doesn't like this topic and he's ready to.
I don't even know what the topic is.
Chad's just judging. He's always judging.
Judgy.
The question is only what he's judging.
And I'm awaiting the delivery of what I shall judge.
Well, that is. Okay, we've already gotten there because the topic is self-insert. All right. Now, I'm not talking necessarily.
That sounds deep.
Thank you, Wayne. I'm not talking necessarily about you in a role-playing game. Maybe it could be. But I'm talking about simply the thought exercise. And by the way, this is pure indulgence, all right? There is no role-playing advice here. Maybe there is. I don't know. Maybe we'll come to this later in the show.
There are a couple of games that actually tell you to create yourself in them.
And I have played a game where we did all play ourselves. And we did do a total self-insert. But let's have a little thought exercise here, because the first game I did it with was not the first game that at least Wayne, you talked about doing it with. The first game I did it with was Shadowrun, because Shadowrun is set in the relatively near future. I mean, I think the Awakening occurs in like 2012, mm-hmm. You know, it's in the past. And then you have goblinization. The Awakening was not one event. It was several events that occur over a timeline that I don't have memorized. I don't know Shadowrun the way I know Battletech. But you had Awakening and goblinization and all these different things that occurred.
We had dragons, but no wireless networking.
Yes. No, they fixed that now. There's no wireless. But yeah, for a long time, there was no wireless networks. And your computer, your top end like deck had like 2 megs of RAM or some nonsense like that. But
it was cute.
But nonetheless,
at a killer refresh rate.
Because of the fact that it occurred in the near future, it was an obvious thought exercise of if the Awakening occurred and if we change one thing, which is for anyone who's not big into Shadowrun, let me explain something. There are primarily 5 races in Shadowrun. So you have humans, elves, dwarves, orcs, and trolls. So humans are born as humans and remain humans. The orcs and trolls goblinize. So at least in the first round, I don't know where the fiction's currently at. They may have changed this. But at least as of the first telling of the universe, what would happen is you would be born as a human, and somewhere around puberty, think X-Men type thing, when you would manifest your powers, you would instead go through this very painful and difficult metamorphosis, and you would come out on the other side as an orc or a troll. Mm-hmm. Elves and dwarves first appeared, if I remember right, once again, this is early editions, I don't know where it's at now, they were born that way. So,
like Lady Gaga.
Yes, exactly. Exactly like Lady Gaga.
So she you is would an just, elf.
So you would just have two people get together, instead of popping out a human, they'd pop out an elf or a dwarf.
Or Lady Gaga.
Or Lady Gaga, which, yeah, it was probably a Wendigo. The three people who play Shadowrun are laughing at that. But
I laughed.
I went down my list of friends at the time, and I tried to figure out, okay, if the Awakening happened, and if I assume they did not remain human, and I never ran this game, but I actually had a little chart worked out because I figured out what the percentages were of people that went through transformation that did not remain human. So if they did not remain human, we do a die roll on that, right? Just take a D10, you know, roll that for at least to get within 10% of if they didn't remain human, this is what they would become. And then figure out from there, what sort of character archetype would they most likely be? And I can do that right now, and this is going to be...
I'm sure you can.
Terrible.
If you're tall and thin, you're an elf.
Yes,
if
right.
you're big and tall, you're an orc or a troll or whatever.
Right, so, okay. So
if you're short,
so you're in my case, over 6 feet tall, 183 pounds, fine features. If I turned into something other than human, I would be an elf. I think because of my psychology, I would probably be an elf shaman at that.
Yeah.
Because of the fear, right? Because religiosity yeah. sort of figures into that. So I would probably be an elf shaman.
I just
shaman.
Never thought about that.
Yeah.
You would totally be an elf shaman.
I would absolutely be an elf shaman. Wayne.
Would be a Lady Gaga.
He would totally, yes, he would be born that way with a poker face. And I'm
bad
blanking.
Bad romances.
With a bad romance. Thank you. I was blanking out on other one hit sort of songs. Wayne, how tall are you?
5'10".
5'10". Okay. So you're definitely not in elf territory. But you're too tall. It's like John would be a dwarf. I love John, but John would totally be a dwarf. I think you'd be an orc. I don't know. You're husky enough. Maybe we could go with troll.
Yeah, I don't know the setting enough to know whether I should be offended or not. So
no,
basically,
I mean,
orcs and trolls are humans, only they're a little bigger and have dermatological and dental problems.
Yes. Ah. That's not
really the only difference.
That's not, yeah, and I think with Wayne, I would go with he's an orc, and I would probably, because of Wayne's sort of his sort of machine intelligence. I think Wayne would be an orc rigger.
Yes, rigger is the best. Although
Wayne would absolutely
him.
Be an orc rigger. Chad,
I was a rigger. It's awesome.
Yes, we'll get to Star Wars. Patience.
Yes, we
will self-insert on Star Wars shortly. But no, in your case, you're definitely got the height. But you know, you're not well and as hairy as you are. I was about to say you're not that hairy, but actually you are.
Your brother's far hairier than I.
He is. My brother could jump in a swimming pool unless you wring him out. The pool's empty.
People always make fun of me about how hairy I am, like body hair.
Yeah.
And I grew up with Dan, and thus I grew up with his brother. And it doesn't even offend me. I'm just like, no, you don't know Tex. I am like powder, you know, from the old movie compared to Tex.
Chad,
isn't John also really, really hairy?
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
But John and Chad both look like cancer patients compared to Tex.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just being straight with you there. That's just how it is. Like I said, if my brother jumps into a swimming pool, unless you're ready to wring him out, everybody else is hitting concrete.
Yep.
But with Chad, you know, I think I'm going to go with you'd be a troll decker.
Yeah?
Isn't a decker just somebody who really needs a monitor? I mean,
yes.
And they like can't afford a monitor, so they plug it into their brain for no real
reason. And you would complain about, because you have this phrase where you talk about reaching the end of the internet.
Yes.
Where you have browsed the internet to the point that, because you know how you get on Wikipedia or YouTube or Reddit or whatever, and you link wander. You click something, and then that raises something else that looks interesting. You click through to that, and then click through to that, and then click through to that.
2 hours later, you're like, I just wanted to know how to replace this part.
Yeah, or even something stupider, like, I just want to know when George Washington was born, and now I'm reading about the economic impact of the New Deal as projected into 2030. Mm-hmm. And
that's how I read Tony Blair's entire Wikipedia page one time.
Wow.
But it's not fascinating. It's not good. I don't recommend it. You'll learn a lot about new labor in Britain.
Sweet.
But
it's what I want to learn.
You have this phrase of reaching the end of the internet, which is when you have grown bored of yes. link wandering. The links have hit a dead end where you no longer care about the subjects that they are revealing. You've reached you've gone from the roots up the trunk and to the end of the branch, and you do not like the fruit and leaves that are there.
Yeah.
And I could see you totally for that reason alone, because you can immerse yourself in that. Mm-hmm. Physically, you're a troll. You would totally be a Decker, except instead of taking like hours to reach the end of the internet, you would do it in seconds. Mm. And then you would be making paperclip sculptures.
Well,
and people would write it off in this totally patronizing way because you're a troll.
Yeah.
They just assume that's the best you're capable of.
So with decking in Shadowrun, it doesn't actually make you faster, does it? Because, I mean, like, okay, you're doing a Shadowrun, everybody's Street Samurai and Rigger and all that sort of stuff, yeah. right? And then you have the guy who's the decker, and it's his own f***ing game.
Yes.
Like, it is a completely yeah. separate game that makes everyone sit on their ass or makes him sit on them. So he needs to take out the security cameras, mess up the pattern.
You're the rogue.
Clock. Yeah.
Rogue ninja.
You open doors. Disarm laser traps. But you don't actually do that faster. It's not like...
You do it in a different frame.
I think you do it faster insofar as...
Like, you're more efficient.
Well, let's just say it's abstracted.
But it isn't like a dream thing where it's,
Right, because let's say that...
If it takes 5 minutes go and turn the camera off, it takes 5 minutes.
It's like being in Tron.
Yeah.
Because let's say you had a keyboard, and let's say just using Mr. Robot, hacker-type techniques, it would take you hours or days to find the vulnerabilities of a system. The Decker could do this in seconds or minutes as opposed to hours or days.
That's what I don't get about it.
But
it's like, because I look at the Decker and it's like, yeah, they have bad skills and they have software tools,
yeah,
which are the same things that a hacker with a keyboard and a monitor have.
Sure.
The only difference is the Decker doesn't have a monitor.
Well, yeah, and the loss of the interface layer,
yeah.
which now becomes purely at the speed of thought, allows you to...
No, it's not the speed of thought, because the decks have keyboards, meaning they still have to type.
Well, no, they do black out. They type for a time, but once they're fully jacked in...
Then why do they need a full keyboard? Why don't they have, like, three keys and it's just a macro for
Because it was made in the 80s and it looks kind of like a keytar.
I mean, look, it's not even like... We have those 105 keyboards. It's like got the extra 10 pin.
I am here to explain what you would be in 2050, not what this game was in 1989. Okay. So I'm not that intelligent. I can't figure that out. There are some things I cannot unpack. But I can tell you that if a door, let's say it had a vulnerability, once again, that would take a regular hacker hours to find. Yeah. Yes, you would not do this at the speed of like a microsecond. It would take you a round or two rounds or three rounds to do, but you would do
this. It
isn't
Inception level dream time.
Correct.
Yeah.
So for Julia.
Oh God.
I would love to tell you you're an elf because that's a polite thing to tell every lady, but
you're really a gnome.
You're too big. So I just mean physically. I don't mean like,
I get it.
Anyone seen Julia? I don't want to say big. I don't mean she's fat.
What you're saying is anyone seen Julia? She's a big girl.
Yeah. So you'd be like a werewolf.
Oh, man.
No.
So what does a werewolf do when it's not a full moon?
It wails.
Just
it wails like, about.
Cruises bars at 3 a.m? Or
I don't know. Sings? In a range that most people can't hear, I'm not really clear. Yeah. But no, okay. So Julia,
it's like a Decker question.
I'm going to give you orc, physical adept.
Okay.
See, yeah, and you know I'm not wrong. You know no. I'm not wrong.
I really have no idea what that is.
It just
so Julia. Well, all right,
I don't want to know.
Oh, yeah. Fair.
But you're going
to
find out.
We should move on to a setting that we know.
So we'll get to a setting that we know. So physical adepts are
kung fu masters.
More or less, yeah. They're people that use magic, but they only use magic insofar as it changes their physical capacities.
Are punch wizards.
They're punch crouching wizards. Tiger, hidden dragon. Yeah. They can do that kind of stuff, and it's magic. It's not.
Well, I love punch wizards.
Yeah, and that's what they are. They're
like a battle mage.
Yeah,
they're
except fast.
And Julia is in just in terms of body frame.
Tall.
Yeah, tall. She's, you know, relatively compared for most like women, broad shouldered, which is why I'd put her as an orc. And she's very athletic and very much into like basketball and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I would go with orc physical layout. Now, Wayne, I'm going to have you do the next one because
this character.
Okay.
Is it?
Well, hey,
feels about right.
Yeah, that's the thing is she cannot argue with this because she didn't come up with it herself. And see, this is what the exercise I'm doing right here. I want to express why this is totally, totally not like self-insert fan fiction, because except for the first part where I self-inserted myself, all the rest of it was me talking about other people.
Yeah. Have you noticed that we have three ugly ass orcs and one beautiful piano playing elf? This long fingers and slick hair.
You know my bigotries. Do you think I want to be anything but human?
I mean, you're self-insert.
You think I'm not going to have a problem with the knife ears? You think I'm not going to be probably secretly sympathizing with Humanist Polis Club?
I mean, it is your self-insert.
Right. I'm just saying that for me to call myself an elf is not necessary. To be a dandelion eater is not necessarily a compliment.
They're not all vegetarians. You know.
Well, yeah, they kind of are. Mm. These stereotypes exist for a reason. So, Wayne, you did one across the entire podcast, and this was done in a back forum that was not public.
Okay.
But I want to have you take this one. I want you to go around the table and do the same thing for D&D, because you had figured out what everybody on the cast was if we were in D&D.
I have no idea how long ago that was, but okay. I'm going to start with you, because you're the easy one for okay. me.
Make him a troll barbarian with a 2-int.
Dan is a paladin. I could see the argument someone might make for a cleric, but as spiritual as he is, that's one aspect, but he's also, you know, that warrior aspect is there.
Yeah.
And that's why I go paladin versus cleric, is that not only would he be, you know, of a religious bent, but he would be a religious bent that is willing to go out there and stand up for it and fight it and hit it with hammers.
For yeah. Moander.
Yep.
Mo-lander. You know, I tell you, if we were talking Forgotten Realms, because so far every god you've named was from Forgotten Realms, if we were to continue with that, I think the god I would probably be most likely to serve would be Shantia, which is the goddess of basically the hearth and home, mm-hmm. the simplicity and the security of home life and agriculture and this very sort of community-centered sort of goddess.
The fertility goddess.
No, she's not the fertility goddess. That's a loon, I think. Or I may be blanking out here on my names. That's not the fertility goddess. But she's just about, like I said, the
hearth, home, harvest. Sounds kind of fertility to me.
No, not hearth, home, harvest, and whoring. The whoring is somebody else. But I said I can't remember what goddess that is. But no, that's a different goddess. With Shantia, it's about just the sanctity and the peace of being at home, being provided for, being warm and secure. You know, she's not the sort of goddess that wants to
Luthic
really.
Luthic is a fertility goddess.
Who is?
Luthic.
Luthic? Is that
orc fertility goddess.
Oh, okay. That's an orc. I haven't heard of that one. It's an orc one.
Mate of Gromsh One Eye.
Huh.
Oh, yes.
He remembers this very clearly because it came up in his last D&D game that he was running.
Well, Sir Chandler know any proper nouns is a miracle. I'm surprised he even knows my name. So, all right. So, Wayne, keep going.
Okay. Chad is a bard. From Ooh. A purely...
You thought it was bad me calling you a troll.
He's never heard me sing.
You can be an orator.
Go yeah. on. I want to hear this one because that's not where I'd put Chad. I actually have a different pick for Chad.
So, I
go... Moisture farmer.
Yes, Moisture Farmer. We'll get to Star Wars. Patience, son.
I'm Damn going it. Bard for Chad because Chad is the guy that can walk in and he is completely comfortable with the room from the standpoint of walk around talking, interacting. He is the he is the outgoing personality. Yeah. On the other hand, he also is a little bit of everything interest-wise.
I'm a polymath.
A bard is someone who is doing a little bit of everything, not specialized, as a variety of things that they do. And is the center of attention and personality.
He's a renaissance.
And outgoing. And
he's a charismatic renaissance dabbler. Okay, Wayne, yep. you sold me. And that was fast. But that I want you to know, that was an uphill sell 2 minutes ago, and now yep. you've sold me.
Yeah, no, that's why I go bard with him. Not from a singing or any of that standpoint, right. but...
Because there's all different kind of bards.
Yeah, you could be an orator.
Maybe you could be an oratory bard or something like that.
So you could be really good at blowjobs. I don't know.
You could be, you know, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, we don't discriminate.
Julia's harder for me, but I'm going monk.
Kind of for a punch wizard. Oh my god!
I know, man. I'm
gonna go with
the ball shouldn't have been your
thing. Yeah, I'm gonna go with an elf monk. That's because you're pretty.
Aw,
thank you.
And I'm not gonna make you ugly like Dan did.
Monk though, it's really okay.
I'm for a lot of the same reason of you're a very physical person, very sporty, very
spice.
And I think that fits
She's
well.
My least favorite.
That's fits well with a monk. It is a punch mage when you look at what a monk does.
Right.
But it is about knowing your own body, knowing you, and this really jumps out at me for you. For me, I'm definitely not the outgoing person of Chad. I don't see myself as a bard. I don't see myself as a frontline fighter.
All right.
I think I would fall more in the probably either the wizard or the sorcerer category.
That's
of
what I was gonna say.
Reading up on things, figuring
I'd say
them out.
Wizard, not so
stand,
much.
Yeah. Stand in the back and toss giant fireballs at people from a safe distance.
Okay, I don't think you would be a sorcerer for the same reason I wouldn't be a sorcerer, which is to be a sorcerer requires an enormous exploration of and faith in self. And I think you would not be, we would not be a sorcerer for the same reason. If I was to put you as a caster other than a wizard, because I agree that wizard is probably most likely.
For the stand in the back and tossing fireballs from a safe distance.
Sure. Well, and also you are a sort of person to read up on things.
Yep.
Get your ducks in a row, then go into a situation as opposed to kind of walk in and play it by ear. If I was to put you as any sort of a caster other than a wizard, I think I'd actually put you as a warlock.
Mm.
Ew.
I could see that.
You know, get some kind of a guide or make some kind of a
deal.
The
pet class.
Well, I don't know. Because they're a pet class, but it's kind of hard to tell who's the pet. But I could see you kind of get yourself into a deal and then sort of having to legalese your way out of it. I think if there was a sorcerer in the group, it would be John. And I'm not sure that I would pick that for John, but if I was to pick a sorcerer in the group, you know, you put a gun to my head and said somebody in the Fear of the Boot cast has to be a sorcerer, I think it would be John.
Yeah, I think wizard probably is the best fit for me out of it, because warlock is a lot more, I don't know, warlock is a lot of making a deal and a pact and things like that versus just reading up and researching.
Well, and I think
the problem with a 5th edition warlock is all of the classes either are neutral to each other or synergize with each other. You know, a fighter and a cleric synergize with each other, that sort of thing. A fighter and a rogue synergize with each other in different ways and all that sort of stuff. And it's about teamwork on a mechanical level. And it's also about teamwork on a thematic level as well. The warlock really seems wedged in there, and it seems like you've got a person in your group who is not a team player. And they always like to go off on their own and do their own thing and not even worry about anybody else. But they still want to participate so they can play a warlock.
So, Wayne, let me...
And we also talked about pet classes. And in reality, I don't see myself as being a pet class, because that is putting your pet in danger. And that's not me.
Well, depending on the edition, if you're a wizard, putting your familiar in danger is a really bad idea. Depending on the edition.
Right.
If you go back to, like, 2nd edition, you could take all but permanent stat losses. In fact, I actually think it was permanent stat losses, barring, like, wish or restoration or something.
Yeah, and I would definitely have a familiar as a wizard.
But you had to be protective of your familiar. They became more disposable in later editions. But in the early editions, man, that familiar died. It was a serious issue. Like, it was like you lost a con point permanently, and it was a year before you could call another one.
Have wide angle vision on your toad.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big deal. I'm probably getting the details wrong, but I know I'm at least in the right ballpark. With a warlock, I know one of the things that you really do not like in life is not feeling like you're in control.
Right.
It's why, for example, you don't drink much, is because you don't like even the concept that something might be influencing your judgment or your decision making, which obviously is a huge part of the warlock. And if you were a warlock, I think it'd be the sort of thing that you would have made as a quick, rushed, and probably regretted decision early in life. And spend
the rest of my life trying to get out of
it. And be spending the rest of your life playing the devil and Daniel Webster. But nonetheless, I could see you ending up there. Now, I'm curious, though, what made you pick Wizard for yourself over Alchemist?
Ooh.
I think because standing back and throwing the fireballs, I have been the person in work situations where I'll go into a meeting and I'll be quiet, quiet, quiet. And then I'll say the thing that just explodes and everyone in the room is like, I didn't think of that. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoy that. Alchemist is a lot of mixing things. And when I think about it, well, I like cooking. I really don't like baking.
Yeah.
And the bartender.
Yeah. Baking's the best.
See, okay. And this kind of does remind me of why if I look at going back to myself in Shadowrun, I'd say I'd be a shaman. The two animals I would most quickly align myself with just off top of my head would be either snake or lion. And not only do I like both animals, but I fit the descriptors of them that are provided within Shadowrun. But another animal that for the same reason I weirdly fit the description of, even though I don't ever really associate this animal with myself, is for the same reason, because of the fact that in public settings, not on the podcast, but in public settings, I tend to be quiet and thoughtful and then make a very calculated move. I actually fit in pretty well with a gator shaman. The way they describe the gator shamans is very similar to how I function.
So back.
All right, so Chad, I'll let you go ahead and start. Star Wars, explain why you're a moisture farmer.
Because moisture farmers are great. They are never one for water. They always have it. They're not on the front lines getting killed. I mean, as long as you don't adopt, like, strange kids. Or
as long as you don't adopt Luke.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about how many moisture farmers are there in that universe?
If you're
in one gets blown away.
Yeah, okay, that's true. How many, you saw a lot of slaughters throughout the Star Trek series.
Yeah, how many moisture farmers bought it?
Star Wars.
You don't edit that, Aisha. He needs to pay for it.
You saw a lot of slaughters throughout the Star Wars series. Mm-hmm. You never outside of that one household saw a vast purge of moisture farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not nearly
everybody needs water.
Well, yeah. And in fairness, he didn't die because he was a moisture farmer. He died because he knowingly took in someone that was
A wanted fugitive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was his own fault. He was harboring a fugitive.
Right. Yeah. Clearly, you know, even though relative and all.
Okay. So Chad, what would Julia be?
Oh, Julie would be a moisture farmer. Because she's intelligent, and who really wants to knowingly put their life in danger in the horrible vacuum of space fighting freaking Zen wizards?
Hey, okay. At least you didn't say space whore.
Who wants to be a space whore? Look,
Do we get to Firefly?
How did Jabba the Hutt and that Twi'lek chick even do it?
Oh, it was. I've always presumed it was status.
I don't want to know. I'm sure there are
things,
diagrams. Yeah,
I'm sure somebody knows.
Sticky places,
right?
What pad or DeviantArt probably has the answer to this?
Yeah, you could Google it.
You're a moisture farmer with your family on a neighboring moisture farm.
Yes,
that is not what I would picture myself.
So I'm going to go ahead and help you guys out here. If you just go ahead and Google Twi'lek Jabba Vor. You don't even need to know what that means. You will find the answer to these questions.
I'm good.
Yeah.
But Dan,
moisture farmer.
Okay, so why would I be a moisture farmer?
Because you really don't want to die in the cold vacuum of space by Zen wizards.
You really like moisture.
I mean, you pay your taxes. War doesn't come to your planet.
But I'm idealistic and maladjusted.
Yeah, but you're idealistic and maladjusted on a planet where you're making money and you're pretty comfortable and the war isn't coming to you.
So I just sit in the middle of the desert, drink my water, and hate everyone. Desert.
You get blue milk.
Blue milk. Okay.
I'm hoping you're more creative for me because I don't want to live on a desert planet.
It doesn't have to be a desert planet. Look at Rogue One. The dude was a moisture farmer.
He was, but he also...
And it wasn't a desert planet. It was like Seattle planet or whatever the hell they were.
I don't know why he wasn't just like putting buckets in the river, but...
Maybe he was. I didn't get into that.
Okay, so what would Wayne be? Let's go ahead and get this.
A moisture farmer.
Okay, why would Wayne be a moisture farmer?
Who wants to die in the cold vacuum of space killed by Zen wizards? I mean, come on. They're doing all their... You have a sexless Zen cult meddling in politics so horribly...
Yeah.
That the entire galaxy erupts into civil war over it.
So I will certainly grant...
Who wants to be a part of that drama?
I would never, ever be a Jedi. for the simple reason that I don't like manipulation.
Right.
And I do like boobs.
Right.
And as a result, I would never make it as a Jedi.
Yeah, but I mean...
And I mean, like,
Anakin had sex.
It's a democracy. It is a representative republic for the people, and this cult that only certain men are allowed into have unfettered, unregulated control over the backroom politics of that Pharaoh.
Julia, you're right. Anakin had sex, and that's why he couldn't stay a Jedi.
Well, hold on.
Right?
We'll
get to because he actually wanted to be happy.
He killed younglings.
Well, okay.
They can forgive that.
Slaughtering children will just put sort of as a moral parenthetical, but to moisture farming.
Yes.
Because they would have died anyways without water.
Yeah.
And what water was there in Coruscant? I didn't see any giant rivers or lakes or oceans.
Or what's that huge Coruscant? That's the big city planet. Yeah. You don't have to be in a desert to be a moisture farmer.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are planets like desert planets and Coruscant that need water.
Yeah.
So really, you're not necessarily a moisture farmer. Maybe you're like a moisture broker. You know, maybe you collect and trade and sell.
So
and
you do like water futures.
Handle the logistics of moving water across vast distances.
You could even sit at home short selling water.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, did you see, what were the names of the people who got killed? Luke's godparents.
Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru.
Yeah. I mean, do they look like hardy, break their back on the land types? I mean... Uncle Beru is kind of pudgy.
They had this sort of, was it Pueblo-looking home?
No, they had...
They just put out blue water for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know where they're even getting this on a desert planet with, like, probably 3% humidity.
You know why? You know where they're getting it from? All the goddamn money they're making. They're bringing it in off planet. That's
their
delicacy.
They're squeezing the water out of the money.
Right. I mean, if they want to, I mean, they're probably packing it in.
And then reselling it.
Okay. Yeah.
Charlie. He's licking my ankles.
Charlie's a moisture farmer.
Yeah. Charlie's helping you. He's giving you...
I mean, how much money in credits is that in moisture?
He's giving you starting trade.
Yeah.
He's giving you the first bit of moisture you can sell on your ankle.
I mean, I
feel like
what,
I'd be a politician.
Sure, you can get involved in local politics as a moisture farmer. Why not?
Yeah.
Work your way up. I mean, the Empire does not rule planets with an iron fist. They make, you know, broad, sweeping policies... But they're not getting down dirty and
laws. The Empire is like the Eye of Sauron.
Yeah.
They are oppressive wherever they're looking.
Yeah. But do they look at moisture except that one
time? How much attention do they really pay to Tatooine, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's just...
And again, Rogue One taught us, you don't have to be a moisture farmer in a desert.
Yeah.
You can be in Seattle planet.
Sure.
The most important thing to pick when picking a Star Wars character is not the race or the class or the job or what kind of lightsaber color you have. It is what single biome the planet you're from is.
Sure.
Are you from ice planet?
Okay.
Forest planet? Desert planet? So where, you guys tell me.
No, I want you to tell us.
Okay.
Chad, all right. So what is your biome world? Are you from an ice world? Or because for some reason, all these planets just like tumble 360 degrees and have no...
Right.
Like, there's no biodiversity, right?
I am from Corsica.
So, all right, so you're from a giant city world.
Yeah, and I do moisture future trading.
Okay, so you're from Manhattan world, and you short sell water. Okay.
Yeah.
What single bio world, what single location in Minecraft is Julia from?
The parquet floor world. So she can play basketball anywhere she wants.
Wow.
Well, I'm sure there was a sports entertainment world.
There's a casino world. Why not?
There was one
it's
that
hot because I'm an icy bitch.
You're a punch wizard.
Wasn't there something kind of like the Hutts ran some kind of? It wasn't Tatooine. I don't think it was Hutta either. But didn't the Hutts have some kind of a gaming world they ran?
You're asking the wrong person.
Okay, so you're saying...
I'm just married to a Star Wars nut.
So Julia would be from a gaming world. Okay.
No, a sports world specifically.
The Vegas planet.
They just haven't been in the planet.
And if you played the Knights of the Old Republic, but the Old Republic MMO, they actually had an internal game that was kind of like a mashup between like soccer and basketball. Mm-hmm. That actually was a fair amount of fun to play. It was this like PvP sort of game, but it was actually quite a bit of fun to play.
You are going to hate my answer for this.
No, that's fine.
Give me a moment to explain.
I am at your mercy. Continue. Okay.
I don't know the name of the planet. It was the one that the prequels, with the... catfish, racist people.
Naboo.
Naboo.
Okay, you'll be Naboo.
Okay.
You're a moisture farmer.
Right. We've established that.
Yes. Right, right.
On a planet that has like oceans. On the one planet that doesn't seem to be a single biome.
Well, he's selling!
But we have incredibly racist stereotypes of black people that live in the water, so I can't take that without causing an incident.
Right.
So I have to be farming from, like, the humidity.
You love oceanography.
Yeah. That's marine biology more
marine
so.
Marine biology. Yes. And that planet is filled with it. Let's ignore the racist catfish.
You might even be elected queen.
A dancing queen, no less.
Yes.
No, I think you'd be very happy on Naboo because it has cities, it has rural areas, it has nice fields and beautiful nature, but it also has civilization. But it also has vast oceans that you can go and explore on your time off when you're not short-selling water to Corsican.
Okay. You know, I can't say you're wrong. Mm. And I'm the sort of person that's so reductionist that even if she was called a queen, if she was hot and elected every 4 years, I don't know that I'd care all that much.
Yeah. I mean, you know, is she really an elected queen or is it just like a semantic? We don't understand. Yeah. There's a bad translation.
We just call her a queen, but the truth is she's not. I'm fairly reductionist. So that the fact that she's called a queen wouldn't bother me. It's be like, well, you know,
it's
reality.
It's like saying, you know, you have a president, but you call him Your Excellency.
Which George Washington was.
Right.
He was first called Your Excellency before he got upset by that and said, call me Mr.
Right.
And out of that came Mr. President. But yeah, he was originally called Your Excellency, and that really bothered him. Mm-hmm. So, no, I could see that. That kind of thing doesn't perturb me. Yeah. So what about Wayne? Where would Wayne
be? Wayne would be on a desert planet.
Okay.
I mean, he would just be hot and sweaty and his skin all dried out. And that's why he's a moisture farmer. He doesn't sell any of it.
And,
he
like,
just...
he'd be so red that everyone would
Can't
think...
there just be a suburban planet? Oh, like, a planet just of suburbs?
Yeah, but that's in
no
a desert.
No cities?
That's in a desert,
They would think
too.
He
like
was a dark Jedi. Like,
well, yeah, because you had the actual race that was the Sith before the Sith Order.
And they were,
red-skinned.
Yeah.
But then you also had whatever it was that Darth Maul was, because he was a different race.
He was. But they typically had the black markings on him, too.
But yeah, but they were red-skinned. Darth Talon was the same race.
Oh, jokes aside.
No, Darth Talon was a Twi'lek. My bad.
Jokes aside, though, on this, we would take him to Hoth. He loves the cold.
Yeah.
He loves the snow.
Yeah.
There are animals there.
That's true.
And they're super friendly.
There's a lot of water. There's
That's
a ton
true.
Of water in our moisture cartel.
That's true.
We need a representative on Hoth.
Just right. That's right. And in terms of moisture farming, all Wayne would need is a hoe and a shovel.
Right.
And these may or may not both be tools. And he could moisture farm there pretty indefinitely. Mm-hmm.
He'd be like the ice people. I forget what they called the job, but on Frozen, the very beginning, they're like farming ice.
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember what they called
him. I forget they called him something specific. I think it wasn't just Ice Farmer? I don't remember.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. My daughter watches it every once in a while, and I catch some of it, but that would be you.
And what is this from?
Frozen.
Oh, Frozen.
At the very beginning, it's like jarring because you think it's going to be about princesses, and there's a bunch of ice.
I still think Frozen would have been so much better if it just had two characters. two characters added, which is Mr. Freeze and Charles Xavier.
And Frozen.
You know what? I'm okay with that. It doesn't fit in there anywhere, but we'll throw in Frozone.
Who voiced Frozone?
Was
it Super Suit?
Right.
Who voiced Frozone? Was it Samuel L. Jackson?
No.
Who voiced him? It should have been Samuel L. Jackson. Maybe in my mind, I just want it to be Samuel L. Jackson.
You've got the Google machine.
So while they're looking at phones and computers and stuff, that is my Star Trek. Ah, damn it.
Now we're both falling that grenade.
Yeah, now they're going to come and kiss.
My husband would divorce
Star Trek
me.
Adventures
Zabrak.
Book.
That's the name of the race I couldn't think of.
Zabrak?
Yeah, the Zabrak. Darth Maul's Zabrak.
Gotcha.
So
my husband would divorce me if I made your mistake.
You know what? Somehow I'll make it through the night.
Played by Samuel L. Jackson.
It is. Okay.
Bingo.
I didn't remember.
So
it should have been Woman, Where's My Mother? In super suit.
So, Star Wars, that's what you have to do. You don't pick a class, a race, anything like that. You pick your biome.
Sure. Well, and it sounds like you've got this down even farther because we talked about the social contract, right? So if you're playing Star Wars, you have agreed you are playing something Star Wars-ish. It sounds like you've taken that a step further down of saying, we're playing Star Wars, let's just accept we're all moisture farmers. Fill out the character from there.
Right.
Ooh.
Why are you a moisture farmer? How are you a moisture farmer?
We're making good money. We're not getting shot at, except that one time we're not getting shot
at. Maybe we are.
I was married into the family.
Maybe we're like
I didn't want to be a moisture farmer.
Maybe we're on like the water planet that's like a reserve and you're not supposed to be farming moisture there.
You know, that goes against the team thing though. We're brokers. We buy and we sell water. Okay. Moisture.
So instead of fat Tony, it's like wet Tony.
Right.
Okay.
We have planets like Hoth. We have planets like Naboo. We have planets like Space Seattle out of Rogue One. You don't have to steal water. Yeah. There's plenty out there.
Sure.
It's just a matter of going out there and grabbing that brass ring, making those credits.
Okay.
Not getting shot at, not getting involved in galactic-wide family squabbles that cause the death of millions of people. No.
So
we're just going to make money and be safe.
Julie, do you have a chosen sighting or do I have to give you one?
I don't. Go ahead and give me. Okay. Don't give me Star Trek because I don't know enough about it.
All right, then I'm going to give you a different pick.
I don't know anything about Star Wars.
If we were all talking animals in Narnia, what animals would we be?
You saw me looking at your Narnia books?
I did. Actually, you're looking at Ted Decker books, but there are Narnia books to the left of the Ted Decker books. Oh, I thought you were looking at the Ted Decker books.
No.
Okay. Those are actually pretty good, by the way. And by the way, they're about people looking for moisture in the desert. I'm not joking.
That's right. I know. They know where it's at,
I'm genuinely not joking.
They know where it's at.
Those books are about people looking for moisture in the desert. Okay.
So what, animals?
Yeah, yeah. So if Narnia was a place and we were all born there, if you know the setting really well, I'll throw in some of the people as well, but we can't be from Earth. So we can be like Tolmarines or something. If you don't know that, you got to give us an animal. We're talking animals. What animals are we?
If I'm an animal, I want to be Lenny Kilmeister.
That's a name.
You cannot tell me Lenny Kilmeister was not an animal.
No, but Julia can. So, Julia, all right. What animals?
Man, that's hard. If I go by personality.
Okay.
I don't remember his name, but the little mouse.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Reepa Cheep.
Yes, that would be him.
So Chad is Reepa Cheep. Okay.
You know, because
I could see it.
Only on the front man for Motorhead.
I could see it. No.
Yeah, just feisty. Just very feisty.
Yes, he was. He was very feisty. He was very boisterous.
I do not remember this character.
There was like...
Did you see Narnia?
I've read them. His volume to mass ratio was enormous. Okay. So
same on loud talker. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying you're a strong presence.
Well, more than anything, he just was very
calling Julia fat. Is that what you're saying?
Okay, so Chad's a Reepa Cheep.
Yeah, he's Reepa Cheep.
Okay.
Oh, Wayne, you're a hard one. I would almost probably put you as one of the
Dan does not get to be Aslan.
I know.
There were talking lions other than Aslan.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
But you don't get to be Jesus.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. I'm not asking you to be Aslan, but there are talking lions other than Aslan. Continue. So what would Wayne be?
Man, that's tough.
I don't remember any of the characters.
Wayne based on the person. I can't influence this. I need to shut up. I know what I would put Wayne as, but I can't.
Almost put him. What's the character's name that she follows into Narnia?
You're talking about the satyr?
Yeah.
Tumnus.
Yeah.
So Wayne would be a satyr. I was close in terms of chronology of the books, but I was actually say that Wayne, in terms of how they're presented in the books, reminds me of the beavers.
Wayne does like beaver.
Yeah.
You're right.
Now, in terms of the typical stereotype of a beaver, like in, you know, shamanistic or pseudo New Age shamanistic sort of thought, Wayne's nothing like a beaver. But in terms of how they're presented by C.S. Lewis,
Wayne
is a lot like a beaver.
So, I've never read the books, and I've only seen the movie like once, and I don't really remember it. So,
well, the beavers are in there, and that's exactly how they're portrayed in the books.
So I've got no clue what...
It's been a context. Long time.
I think I agree with you. Like, if it was that specific character, it would be him because he's got like this wants to give justice, but like does it not up front, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which is very much you, if you know what I mean.
Interesting.
But if it would have to be that character. I don't know if the rest of them are like that.
Okay. But we'll go with what we know of them. Okay. So what about me? I have a choice for myself as well, but it's going. I'm like
your farmer.
But I do know what animal's doing the moisture farming.
Santa Claus.
I feel like you would definitely be more on like the actual fae side in those books.
So like
an elf again?
No,
there were like tree spirits.
Like tree spirits and stuff.
In fact, the start chronologically of the series, not in terms of the order they released, because Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was the first one released, but the actual first book to occur chronologically was Magician's Nephew. And a guy and his wife go to Narnia and they have three kids. And to avoid incestuous relationships, the three kids are married off to tree spirits, where like the trees can like assume sort of like dryadic Mm-hmm. And there were sometimes mailers.
Son, you can't marry your sister. Okay, that's legit, Dad.
You got to plow an oak.
Hope you dovened up your because you're going to be nailing a tree, if you know what I mean.
But they could take on these sort of dryadics or like human forms that were supposed to be noble and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just see the choice I had for myself, and this is going to sound so arrogant until I explain it, is I would have picked dragon. Because the dragons had a strong presence, but also tended to be tortured and self-loathing.
Edgelords.
No, more, I guess, emo than edgelord. But the edgelords were, well, I mean, there definitely were edgelords in there, but they were more, I'm blanking out now, but like, there were some of the evil races, many of which actually converted to good after the Lion, Lich, and the Wardrobe. Like, Minotaurs was one of them. Mm-hmm. They actually switched sides.
They did.
So, Julie, what about you?
I don't know.
So you gotta pick something.
I'm bad at this.
See, I'm even getting this confused because I once watched a parody of it. One of those, you know, they had for a while
like a
they
porn
were
porn parody or
no, not a okay. porn parody.
Not yet.
For a while, they were doing all of those parody movies of the every summer there would be a new porn a new.
Yes, every summer there is new porn.
Every summer there would be a new parody of whatever the new flavor was.
Yeah.
So they did one as a parody of all the superhero movies.
Okay. And
they did a parody of the horror movies. I remember there was a parody that parodied
Narnia.
Yeah, Chronicles of Narnia. And all I remember from it was they were going after the white bitch.
Are you talking about the...
She loves her pumpkin spice instead of turkey.
Sandberg did a Narnia song.
Somebody... I heard them shorthand The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe to be in the book that makes everyone think they like Turkish Delight. Have you ever actually had Turkish Delight?
I like Turkish Delight.
It is freaking disgusting.
I disagree.
I cannot stand it.
So, all right. I've got a pick for you, Julie, but I'm curious.
I stalled for you to give you time.
I know. Yeah.
I've got a pick for you, and I want to hear what... But
I would honestly probably go the centaurs.
I could see that. That was not my pick, but I could see that.
Because I don't know why. I just feel like that would be me.
No, they're strong.
And they speak their minds.
Yeah, they're very plain.
Are they punch mages?
I was going to say, do they punch things? Do they have magic?
More sword and arrow, but
can punch things.
They certainly are physically athletic. I mean, yes. I would grant that. They have a certain level of pride and sort of self-image or whatever that they maintain. So I could see that. I was actually going to go with something similar, not quite the same, which was one of the merfolk. Because the merfolk were very supportive. They were very engaged.
They were a little bit more motherly.
But they were also a bit more standoffish. Like, they weren't right up there in your face. But when you needed them and when you were, like, where they were all in.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of fits how you behave as well.
I forgot the merpeople existed because I haven't read the books.
Well, they only play a big role in, like, one of the books.
Yeah, it's like the
Voyage of the Dawn Turner.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only book they play any significant role in. All right, so we're in this war. It has to end. This is Fear the Boot.
Mm-hmm.
What mech?
See, I didn't...
Does everyone want to pick for themselves, or do I need to assign?
I'm not a mech warrior person, so I couldn't.
A utility mech that cuts down trees for lumber.
See, I was going to give you what's called the hot hammer. The hot hammer is a...
Yeah, you were.
As either pornographic or...
After dark.
Roadside, like, if you can finish this, your meal's free sort of thing, as it sounds. The hot hammer is a Warhammer variant that has flamers on it.
Oh.
And was used as a... It was a fire support mech that also had an insurgency and utility capacity. So it had a multi-role sort of purpose, where it still packed the big old PPCs, but it also packed the flamers and such for doing things like creating fires and manipulating the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was...
I want to be on the battlefield.
Well,
I've got a family. I don't... Then, it's dangerous out there. I just want to make money and sell my moisture.
You know what? Tough. There's no moisture farming mech, so I'm sure there is in like Dark Ages or something, but within the primary Battletech canon that I care about, there was no moisture farming mech. I'm sorry to tell you. So
see, that's why I wanted a lumber mech, because there is one.
Yes, sir. Well, within Dark Ages at least there's a lumber mech. Unless you're talking about like you're gonna turn the Hatchet Man into a utility mech and it's just you're just gonna clear cut forests for like Brazilian farmland.
Right.
So Wayne. Let's see. You know what? It's a relatively sturdy, stompy mech that is pretty good in a variety of situations. I'm putting you in a Thunderbolt. The same mech that killed your first Battletech character. You've reincarnated, and that's what you're going to pilot.
Nice. And I'm going for the Locust first, because the Locust.
That's right. Super dangerous.
You've learned the hard way. The Locust is dangerous. What would you guys put Julian?
Moisture Farmer?
Yes. Yes, the MST-4D Moisture Farmer.
Right. I don't know. What do you want to be in?
I don't know anything about Mech Warrior.
I actually was thinking Locust, but the other thing I was thinking was, and I don't know why this is jumping out at me, but I don't even know what to call them, but the planes.
Oh, well.
Aerotech?
Are you talking about actual aerospace fighter? Talk about the LOM mechs, the ones that actually...
The actual aerospace fighters that swoop down and rain death from above and then fly back up.
So you're talking about putting her in like a fighter bomber.
Yeah.
I could kind of see that. The other thing that I would consider putting her in is a lesser known thing. It's not a mech, which I realize is kind of dodging the original question because it's supposed to be a mech, is the Kanga. The Kanga is a hovercraft that is jump capable. Hmm. And so it was meant to get...
You know what's weird? Hovercraft. You know what's weirder? A hovercraft with rockets on it.
Yeah, but what it was meant for is rapid deployment and extraction. That it was meant to go into a place, create havoc.
Don't we have helicopters?
And then extract. Well, because the helicopter is always in line of fire, the Kanga can be covered by terrain.
The Kanga, when it jumps, it's going to be in the line of fire.
Well, you don't have to jump.
Unless you can just hover about.
Yeah, like a helicopter.
But if you want to jump.
But if you want to jump, it's there.
Yeah, so if
I did want to join the Air Force. Does that make sense?
So if I was to put Julie like in a mech, I can't think now what it's called, but there was a medium fire support mech that was actually designed for both escort capacity and to deal with...
Are you calling me a hooker?
Mm-hmm. No.
Were-whale hooker, apparently.
Protective escort that packed a ton of medium lasers and was designed to do like protective escort and also to keep armored infantry at bay. And as an inner sphere design, I certainly would not put her clan mech. There's nobody I hate enough to put in a clan mech. But I can't think what it was called. It was out of Tech Readout 3055. And if my gaming library was in the recording studio, which it's not, it's in the AP room, I would look up what it is. But there was a...
You're a huge nerd.
I know. I am a huge nerd. Now, come on. For mine, it's got to be easy here. I'll give you one of maybe three or
a
four.
Stinger.
No. I'll give you maybe...
You don't get to decide.
Well, all right, fine. You have to sell me on why the Stinger is the right pick.
Because it's an awesome-looking mech from Robotech. It looks like a jet that can walk. It's holding a gun. You love guns.
Yeah, I'm not sold. That's it.
Yeah, I don't know the mechs even by name well enough to even come close. I know the Wolverine. Mm-hmm. But it's not really good at anything in particular. It's a medium size
utility.
Yeah.
I was trying a charger. You wouldn't actually use it as a mech. It's just this giant slab that you just sit down and you would do your...
That's irresponsible.
You would do your moisture brokerage from. It's like an office building.
No, if you're going to... Okay, there is a mech I would accept, right? That I could do my moisture brokering for.
Right.
Because it has an office on it. It has its own attached building. It's the only mech I'm aware of in Battletech that has a building on it. It's a Cyclops. And the Cyclops is one of the three or four that I'd say, if you were to say, pick a mech and run with it, Cyclops...
You're not running with a Cyclops.
Maybe you're
sitting there looking
really
pretty.
Yeah.
But
being an moisture. Office.
Yeah.
But I could...
It's donut day.
I actually kind of like Cyclops because I see you as the... In the Battletech world, I see you as more of a C3.
Yes, and
watching the field and
giving out orders. Well, we played Chrome Hounds, which was a mech game on the Xbox, and like Chad and I played, and we played with a whole bunch of people. One of the roles was you could play a command mech that had command-based abilities, like could see things on the battlefield and tell people truths about the environment they could not see on their own. And I did that. Great freaking A. I mean, I'll totally admit I was mediocre to crappy in other roles. But in that one role, I always had the A game. So I could see Cyclops as definitely being one of my picks. Probably my go-tos would be either the Marauder or the Wraith. But I think Cyclops if someone was to assign me and we were to get my own choosiness out of the way, there's a very good chance that that is where I would end up.
The C3 aspect of it is why I think that's the fit for you.
I know what a Marauder is.
I don't.
I played like the tabletop mech game and when it first came out with my brother. And I remember the Marauder because I thought it was cute because I was four or something. I was really young.
It is cute.
So the mech I was thinking of for Julia, I did look up his name. It's called the Komodo. So the Komodo is what I had in mind for Julia. It's a 45 tonner. I technically got 3055.
Fantastic.
So
I don't know what any of that means.
Well, you should. And if you don't, you should play more Battletech.
Or less.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Everybody got time for Battletech. If you ain't got time for Battletech, I don't know what you're doing with your life. You're squandering it. You're squandering it.
I'm playing with my toddler?
Boring.
It is. Yeah, actually.
Exactly. The kids are kind of boring.
So both my sister and my brother are in the process of teaching their kids how to play Battletech. Get your shit together.
She's two.
Well, that's not my problem.
If I hand her dice, she just collects them because they have colors.
That's a place to start. You tell her to pick a mech by color, and at least then you know which faction. I'll get you a copy of camo specs, and based on our favorite colors, you can at least start figuring out what her favorite faction is. If she's like, oh, I like, you know, blue and white, I'll be like, okay, she's
green and purple.
Okay, I'll have to look up what that is.
That's her favorite color.
But I'm sure in camo specs, somebody's using green and purple. I'll tell you what faction she represents.
You sure you're not talking about, like, the Scottish? It just feels
I'm
like
talking, when I'm talking about Battletech, I am talking about Battletech. There are no two. All right, so I am going to say one comment very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so the one thing that I think is useful about the self-insert exercise, which I'm throwing at the end of this
you bonus said there episode, was going to be no advice.
I said there probably wasn't.
Oh, okay. You
or maybe,
wrong.
I don't know. But every exercise in role-playing is, to some degree, a self-insert. Because even if you are playing a character that is far off from you as you can get, it is still a character created by your mind, placed into that world, and you have to unpack the world through that button, lever, and entry point of that character. You know,
sometimes you're deciding what you're going to do based on what you would do.
Bingo.
So you're doing the opposite.
Precisely. Even if you decide, well, I would do X, but this character has some issue where they would do Y instead, you still started with your own interpretation. Therefore, as ridiculous as self-insert fanfic is, and as ridiculous, I've seen good games. So as ridiculous as self-insert RPGs tend to be, and once again, I have seen some good ones, I think the usefulness of the self-insert exercise is you do start to understand the context of the game world in the perspective of a real person. And that gives you a thought exercise from which to start deviating. So if I was like this, then what would someone who is different from me in these ways be? In the same way that I can look at Shadowrun and say, Wayne is not me, but if Wayne is in Shadowrun, here's what I think he would be and why. To start with myself, I believe, is the best entry point for that. Plus, on top of that, let's be honest, it's a ton of fun. I mean, part of role-playing's attraction is escapism. If you offered me a battle mech, I would absolutely take it. I have no idea what I would do with it other than moisture farm. And you know, I would live in the trailer that's attached to the Cyclops because who would dare evict me? But, you know, it's unless. I think it's a fun exercise. So anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great week and great games, and we will catch you next time.